This is the Pet Podcast on Pets.ca, episode number 45, Holiday Hazards for Cats and Dogs, an interview with Dr. Lee. Hey there, pet lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 45th Pet Podcast on Pets.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we have an interview with Dr. Lee, and we're going to talk about common holiday hazards for cats and dogs. A lot of us have heard some of this stuff before, but Dr. Lee, as always, adds in some new and useful information and plenty of stuff that you may not have thought of before, so please continue to take a listen. As always, the best way to get these podcasts is to subscribe for free. You just go to the front page of the blog, www.pets.ca/blog, and you can just click the link that says subscribe in Google Reader or subscribe in iTunes. And as long as you've downloaded Google Reader or iTunes, which are both free and are great ways to listen to this and other podcasts, every time we put one out, you will get it automatically. If you wanted to comment and or suggest anything, you can do so in so many ways. You can do it directly on the blog, as just mentioned. You can do it in our bulletin board. Just make your way to the bulletin boards on pets.ca. And of course, you could always just send me an email, pets.ca@gmail.com. Love to get emails, comments, criticisms, suggestions. It's all good, so feel free to send it our way. Without further ado, let's get into our last podcast of the year, an interview with Dr. Lee about Christmas or holiday hazards, and let's get right into it now. So I'd like to welcome back Dr. Lee as always. It's been a couple of weeks, but Dr. Lee has become indeed a regular on our show. Thanks so much as always. Today we're going to talk about Christmas hazards and things you should be aware of, some of the things you may already be aware of and some may be new. So please take a listen. But before we get into it, hi, Dr. Lee. Welcome back.
Glad to be back. It's always good to be here.
And always glad to speak with you. So let's get right into it right away. A lot of people know about holiday hazards, but what is the single most common holiday hazard that people bring their pets in to see you that you've been doing year after year after year? What's the one thing that comes to mind right away?
Probably foreign body obstruction. Basically, when there's a lot of new puppies, a lot of young dogs and cats around the holidays. And then there's lots of toys, gifts, ornaments, Christmas tree, tinsel. Those dogs and cats eating those, swallowing those down, getting stuck, and us needing to go surgically after them. That's probably the most common thing that we see.
Okay, and is it more common with dogs or more common with cats, or is it split evenly?
During the holidays, usually it's almost always dogs and not quite as much cats. In the holidays, the cats give us a little... probably about as much trouble as the dogs, just because of the tinsel. A lot of cats do like threads. They need to have a string-like object, so threads and tinsel becomes a big issue with cats.
Let's go over like the common lists that that people should be aware of, things that are just so enticing to dogs. Let's go through maybe the more common ones and the less common ones. So we've already talked about foreign body obstruction. I guess that covers ornaments and tinsel, things like that. Anything else that people should be aware of? Particular objects that people may not know cats and dogs love to eat, but they do?
Probably the unusual one that we don't think about so much is some of the wrapping paper and plastic, especially when some of the gifts may contain food. A lot of times dogs will be going after the food inside and end up eating the plastic and the packing along the way. And a lot of times when we go in surgically, the food's not what we're looking at, but more the plastic box or the ribbon, stuff like that.
Okay. Just as a practical question, I guess, most people want to avoid spending money when they can. We have to spend the money to save our pets when it's an emergency, but many people think about saving money, especially on the holidays. Are these items likely to pass? What should people do if they suspect, if they know their pet has eaten this object? Obviously, we want to bring them in right away. What's the recommendation when this type of thing happens?
Usually the best thing is to bring them in to a vet so they can get an x-ray or a radiograph. A lot of times then they'll be able to take a look and see, do we have a good chance that it will pass? Is it already passing? Or is it something that is going to cause a lot more problems if we let it sit? Usually the clinical signs that we see with a foreign body obstruction are going to be vomiting, not feeling well, not wanting to eat, I was vomiting is the number one thing that we look for. But in many of those cases, if we wait till that, until those clinical signs have started, we're already causing a lot of damage to the intestines and stomach and pancreas. So if we can get them in beforehand, get an idea of what's going on, it can save some cost down the road.
And I guess just to backtrack half a second again, how often do, I guess it obviously depends on what the dog or cat has eaten, but how often do these things get passed? Is there any type of general guideline, or does it just obviously, you know, matter on what they ate? Like if they ate plastic, is it 50-50 they'll pass it? Is it like 90-10 against that they'll pass it?
Yeah, it is actually pretty amazing what dogs will pass. We see a lot of things that can pass that you just wouldn't think would be able to happen. So a lot of it is a case-by-case basis. Certainly it's not something that you want to wait on. You know, a lot of things like the plastic that's in like a plastic sheet, like a Saran, a lot of those can pass. It really has to do with, you know, what it is, how flexible, and a lot of times the pet's system. The hard, jagged, lumpy objects that become more of a problem. Also, with some of those, a lot of the ornaments that we see, a lot of times if they have wood, sometimes they have some weird smells to them, and dogs will take those too. And then you get, you know, splinters and the metal pieces are attached to it, and those can cause some problems.
Yeah, no doubt. I guess I just wanted to ask the question, and it's so hard to give a precise answer just because there's so many variables. But if the dog is, or the cat for that matter, is appearing sick, it's time to bring them in. But does it happen that that pet owners don't know that they're sick and they pass the object before they're sick? What's usually the way that the owner will discover that this has happened?
Well, many times, like you said, they will go out to clean up the yard or change the litter box, and they'll see, you know, tinsel, plastic, part of a toy in the feces. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, magically pass without us ever really knowing about it. I think it really depends on, you know, what's the content of what they ate. If you look at what they ate, if it just seems like a rather large, something that could not be easily broken down to kibble size, that's probably something that we really need to have an x-ray of.
Of course, that's good to know. I guess if they do pass it successfully, is there a waiting time where we should still evaluate our pets? Let's say we're cleaning up the yard and we notice the dog passed a certain object, or we go into the litter box and the cat passed a certain object. We may think or feel that because they passed the object, we're safe. But during the passing, that may have caused some internal damage. Am I going on something on a common thread here? Is it rare? Once it's passed, are they safe? Or do they still need to be monitored if they've passed an object?
Well, when they pass it, I think that's a really good point that you brought up. When they pass it, one of the things we do need to do is go back and see that's the majority of what was passed. Sometimes we can take a look at the pieces that passed and what was chewed, and there's still something missing. That becomes an issue. Most of the time, if it passed without issue and the pet is doing just fine, most of the time everything's going to be okay. Where the problem is sometimes there are resins or different chemicals that can get absorbed off of the foreign bodies. Sometimes those can cause some inflammation of the pancreas or even cause toxic damage to the liver, kidneys. But usually in those guys, we will be seeing some signs other than just the passing of the strange objects.
Okay. So, I mean, it goes without saying. I mean, obviously, it's always more prudent to bring your cat or dog to the vet whenever there's a problem. But if you think you're safe, you know, the cat or dog has passed something that it's eaten, but it's still not acting completely right after it's passed it. I mean, at that point, what you're obviously saying is, still bring your pet in because there could be remnants of what was passed or an interaction with their system and what went through their system, which can cause further damage.
Right. I mean, over the last, 11 years, I've seen so many different ways and different strange complications that you wouldn't necessarily think of. A lot of, like, some toys, like plastic toys, can have metal inside. You know, if those metals have, you know, like zinc in there or lead, that can cause, you know, some serious issues, can cause damage to the blood. Sometimes the metal, you know, the plastic passes, but again, if there's like a high level of zinc, it can actually oxidize and affix right to the stomach and then lead to blood diseases. So So sometimes we really do see some very strange things, and sometimes it's not the actual mechanical obstruction, but actually what's either on the object or within it that's causing problems. So it's just such a high variable because there's so many different things that are out at, you know, the holiday time, so many things that we're not used to, and sometimes things, you know, from the far past, things that have been passed down by generation that have chemicals or components that just aren't used anymore. So it's such a broad group of signs that we can see. Sometimes it's very straightforward, and sometimes it gets pretty complex.
I guess, you know, prevention is always the way to go. It always seems to be the simplest way to deal with a situation. But, you know, are there plastic trees, or are there trees made of fake material and ornaments that are better recommended than the usual ones that get stuck? Have you seen safer ornaments for pets or safer trees for pets, things like that?
As things get, each year, you know, everything's geared more towards safety. A lot of the advances that they make for safety for children and toddlers really does cross over to pets. And I think that they're, you know, a big benefactor of those, you know, different laws. I mean, we can see, you know, last year there was the lead toxicity in the paint with Barbie. You know, those things, you know, help out the pets as much as, you know, they do the kids too. So I think a lot of the newer trees, the newer fake trees, the newer ornaments, a lot of those, you know, are geared towards safety of children, and that passes over.
That's nice. That's good. It's a good benefit for both, obviously. Just before we continue, I have one more question, not the most graceful one, but let's say the pet is trying to pass something and they're they're semi-successful, where half the object is kind of protruding out and half the object is still in. Should you, as the pet owner, try and remove that object? Or if the object is showing, should you bring the object to the vet? Strange question, but I'm sure it's happened before.
It, you know, it does happen. I don't have a problem with very gentle traction where you just pull very, very slightly. If that is unsuccessful or there's any discomfort, you want to stop immediately. The concern is that a lot of times there's string and some type of linear foreign body. And when we think about the string going in our intestines, which is a kind of a soft tube, if you start pulling that string, it can saw right through. So, you know, we can help, you know, the pets out. I have had quite a number of clients that give us a call on the phone, and they'll get some gloves on and, you know, very slowly try to help it pass, maybe give them a, you know, even sometimes a warm bath, kind of relax the pet. I've had some people use, you know, some lubrication, but you really don't want to get too involved. If it's not a rather easy thing to do, that is time to go to the vets.
Right. Okay. But it's good to know. So if you're able to pull it out really easily, really gently, but aside from that, any pain or discomfort, you don't want to cause them more harm than good. So, I mean, if it's going to come out gently, that's likely what the vet's going to do anyway, right? The vet's likely to try and pull it out ever so gently. But if there's any resistance, it's not for you anymore. That's what I'm getting from you. Is that about right?
Absolutely. And okay. It's one of those things that, you know, a lot of times we will do some gentle traction. If that doesn't work, we'll take some x-rays. And I've actually had a cat that had string that started, was wrapped around the tongue and also poking out the back end. It was a very long piece of string.
Right.
But
right.
Definitely don't want to pull that because it was attached right on up to the mouth.
Okay, so let's move on now to foods. Let's say dogs. Dogs or cats? I guess dogs are more likely to eat bad foods than cats. Is that right?
Pretty typical. With cats, I mean, cats being obligate carnivores, they will get into some of the meats, but it's pretty rare for that to be a problem. Usually when we talk about the food toxicities, again, it's usually dogs that we're going to be talking about.
And what's the most, again, like we'll name a few of them, what's the most common one that causes dogs problems?
Chocolate, by far.
By far.
By far. It's chocolate.
How many, and we've done this before on foods that pets shouldn't eat, both cats and dogs should avoid chocolate. How often do you see chocolate poisoning in dogs?
You know, we do see chocolate exposure a lot. The difficulty with chocolate is that there's so many different forms of chocolate that establishing whether or not there's a true toxin or just a chocolate exposure, sometimes that does get a little bit difficult. Certainly, you know, I know we've talked about this before, but baking chocolate is going to be the worst, followed by dark chocolate and then milk chocolate. And so many of the foods that we have, some of the chocolate milks, Oreos, there's really not a whole lot of real chocolate in there to begin with. So some of them don't have a whole lot of issues. But, you know, again, a lot of people are doing a lot of baking. Baking chocolate, we need to be very cautious about that stuff.
So why are people bringing their pets in? Is it because they know that chocolates are bad? Or are their pets exhibiting symptoms of illness after they've eaten chocolate? Is it just, oh my God, my dog ate a Mars bar or an Aero bar, let me bring him in, which is still a good thing to do in my opinion, because, you know, whenever there's a doubt, it's always the best to go to a vet. Or is it because the dogs are getting sick?
Most of the time, the people are really good about catching it. A lot of times they'll be like opening up a thing of Hershey's Kisses to put on cookies, and then they'll turn around and notice that their dachshund ate the whole bag. So most of the time we can bring them in, get them to throw up the chocolate and kind of bypass the problem. Also, because of the toxin, it kind of depends on the pet. Some pets will just make them throw up and we'll send them on home. Some will actually put on some fluids as well. The chocolate, as little as 1 ounce of baking chocolate, is enough for toxicity for a 20-pound dog. So it doesn't necessarily take a whole lot. You know, we do need to remember that chocolate toxicity, it can be fatal.
No, for sure it can be fatal. And you know, pet owners being prudent, of course, is the best solution possible. But if, again, like you say, it depends on the pet. If a German Shepherd eats, let's say, 5 Hershey's Kisses and a Yorkie eats 5 Hershey's Kisses, well, I don't know if that's like the best example, but the weight of the dog or the size of the dog also plays into this as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a big dog that eats a couple Hershey's Kisses, we'll just have the owners watch at home. A lot of these smaller breeds, it becomes a bigger issue.
And just back to cats for a second, do you ever get cats eating chocolate? Do you ever get this type of thing with cats?
I know it happens. I don't know that I've actually seen a cat do that. I'd say with cats, probably the big issue is we see a lot of flowers that go through. And so a lot of them do get some stomach irritation from that. The big one you always want to worry about is lilies, but we don't see that a lot around Christmas time.
Right.
I have seen some cats eat some mistletoe, and some people worried about both dogs and cats eating poinsettias.
Can we talk about poinsettias for a sec? I think a lot of us have heard that poinsettias are bad. How bad are they? How frequent a reaction do you see? Is it something that comes up every year for you?
Yeah, they're not as bad as we think. There's actually a lot worse. Poinsettias are probably the lowest on the list. They're kind of imprinted on the public's mind of being really bad because there was a case of a newborn human baby that ingested the leaves and actually died. But it was a one isolated case, and since then, you know, both children, babies, dogs, and cats have eaten quite a bit of poinsettias, and they do get very sick. But it was from one isolated case. Both the leaves and the stems, so kind of all parts of the plants, are toxic, but the toxin, what it is it's an irritant. So it causes irritation and inflammation to the mouth and the stomach. And so because of that, a lot of times you'll get like redness around the face or the tongue, some dermatitis, inflammation where they don't want to eat, vomiting and diarrhea. Usually just supportive care and some fluids will be enough to take care of it.
Still, I would suggest that even if that is the end result, pet owners might not be sure that that's the end result, so they should still bring their pets in.
Right, and this, when I say supportive care and fluids, it's IV fluids, something that helps pass through, and then usually we'll put them on stomach protectants. Also, to remember that while the irritation cause, you know, it doesn't sound as bad that we're just inflaming the mouth and the stomach, if those dogs or cats stop eating, they become dehydrated, I mean, that can lead to, especially in older dogs, can lead to some fatal side effects. But it's more from the secondary issues rather than the primary toxin. So, yeah, I think that's a good point. The poinsettias are not, by themselves, are not as bad as we think, but the consequences can be, depending on the level of irritation and the status of the pet.
Let's talk about another couple of plants then. If poinsettias are a little lower down on the list, what's right up there on the list? We mentioned daisies already. What else is really high on the list?
Mistletoe. Mistletoe's quite a bit worse. That can cause cardiovascular collapse, you know, and in addition to the GI signs that we see with the poinsettias, they also have kind of a wide-range toxin that gets inside the bloodstream and slows the heart, can lead to arrhythmias, and again, low blood pressure, and eventually collapse and death. In people, it's also been known to cause hallucinations. You can only guess that may happen with pets as well. So that means that toxin's getting in on level of the heart, the brain, as well as the intestines. So it does cause a bit widespread damage. Also, there's some mistletoes that had somewhere they've been like sprayed or kind of preserved with something. Sometimes those chemicals are also causing issues too. So mistletoe is probably a big one to avoid.
And are cats more attracted to it than dogs equally?
I probably still have more dogs than cats eating it, but I have had some cats have mistletoe, and it's not so fun.
Okay, very good to know. I mean, see, that's a really common one. Like, you know, so many people have mistletoe, and like you say, it's really the poinsettia that's often in the public's mind, and maybe not the mistletoe. So it is indeed a good thing to warn people about for sure.
Absolutely. And then I think the other one that's not really on the same level of flowers, but macadamia nuts. We see a lot of chocolate-covered macadamia nuts. And not only is the chocolate toxic, but macadamia nuts actually cause paralysis in dogs and cats.
Wow. I guess, again, the dogs are more likely to eat it, but it is, you're right, it is kind of everywhere. It's a popular Christmas gift, so it is indeed doubly good to be aware of for sure.
Absolutely. The good thing is that the macadamia nut toxicity, it is reversible. So most of those dogs, you know, regain the ability to move. But it's pretty scary when the dog's not able to stand or walk.
Yeah, of course. It would, for sure, it's going to freak a pet owner out. And of course, they have to bring their dog in immediately when that happens, I would suspect.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Excellent. So thanks so much for that info, Dr. Lee. I know a lot of people are still confused about what can and cannot constitute a holiday hazard. So I'm glad we've named a few and the most common ones to be aware of. So thanks so much, as always, for this great information, Dr. Lee. And on behalf of myself and all the listeners, I'd love to wish you a happy holidays, best for 2009, and thanks so much for all your help in 2008.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here, and happy holidays to everybody.
Thanks so much, Dr. Lee. And I'd like to thank Dr. Lee one more time for that bit of great information. He always adds a thing or two that we don't know. Some of us already know a lot about pets, but there's nothing like getting it from the vet's mouth firsthand and, you know, getting the benefit of his experience and the things that he sees and the things that he sees more commonly and less commonly. And shares it with us so freely. So I'd like to thank Dr. Lee. I'd like to thank Tenderfoot Training. I'd like to thank all our listeners who send comments and suggestions and plenty of emails our way, you know, thanking us for these podcasts. It's so our pleasure. And really, it's, you know, it's my pleasure to be able to do it and to share with you all. I'd also like to thank all our bulletin board members for all the information that they share throughout the year. It's really an amazing community that's been built up by members. So thank you so much. We take so much pride in the fact that, you know, all the information is so out there for people just to absorb and become better pet owners. And really, it's due to the efforts of the community. So thanks as always. If you haven't checked out the pets.ca bulletin board, of course, it's free to join. There's so many good people there. There's so many pictures there. We love pictures. So if you've been lurking and you haven't joined, join. It's fun, and there's all kinds of great information and, you know, off-topic forums and all kinds of pictures and videos, and it's a fun place to be and a fun place to hang out. So I do invite you to join if you haven't already done so.
on behalf of myself and Dave, the other admin, and our wives and our pets, little Ziggy from my end and Bailey from Dave's end, we'd like to wish everyone the happiest holiday season possible. Thanks so much for all the information shared. Thanks so much for listening during 2008. And we wish you only the best and a great holiday season and a great New Year's for 2009. Thanks again, everyone. As always, get down on your pet's level. It's the holiday season, and if you think you gave them a lot of kisses during the year, give them some extras during the end of the season, and just when you think you're done, give them an extra scratchy under the chin from Marco. Bye for now, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy holidays.